It's now 8:51, 9 minutes before 9 o'clock. The tragic shootings at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut last week have inspired some conversation about mental health. We don't know about the motives of the shooter in this case, but many are asking questions about mental illness, those who suffer from it, and those who are responsible for caring for the mentally ill. With us this morning is Amy, who has asked that we not use her last name. Amy's son suffers from mental illness, and she writes about her experiences as a caretaker in the blog Far From Paradise. Amy, a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Beth.
Please, if you would, give us a brief background of your son's history with mental illness, that which you're willing to share.
Sure, absolutely. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners about this. My son was an average teenager, didn't really have any signs of problems, a little depression. We suspected some drug and alcohol use. From middle school into high school. But then just a few weeks after his 16th birthday and just a couple days before Christmas, our whole world turned on end. We ended up in the psych emergency hospital facility at Strong because our son felt that he wasn't feeling safe with himself. And this launched us on an 18-month journey through outpatient, inpatient, suicide attempts, residential treatment facilities across New York, Pennsylvania, and Maine.
Does he currently have a diagnosis?
Well, that's very interesting because with all of the different hospital situations that we were in, every doctor seemed to have a little bit of a different perspective about what his diagnosis was and is. And it's really not an exact science. It's definitely what we found out. There's a lot of guesswork that goes into what could be causing a child or a teen or an adult to feel this way, to act in ways that are not considered socially norm.
Well, how do you feel about the fact that the Connecticut school shootings have inspired what seems to be this national conversation about mental illness in our society?
Yeah, there are no words to describe the tragedy that happened in Connecticut, and I don't have enough information around the story to know if there was a diagnosis, but the conversation around mental illness is very important. In fact, it's critical, and I'm grateful that it's being discussed so openly and passionately. I feel strongly that talking about mental health is the key to better understanding and developing greater support structures and resources for those who need it.
Tell us about the resources, Amy, you have found helpful in your efforts to assist your son here in Rochester.
I'm going to be honest. Identifying support resources was one of the most difficult things that I faced during my son's crisis. The medical resources are pretty straightforward, but caregiver support resources were and are really non-existent. There are a few organizations in the area that provide support. NAMI, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and the Mental Health Association are both good resources. But I didn't feel that they gave me what I needed. I needed to connect with other moms or parents that were going through similar experiences. I really felt I needed to talk to someone who understood what I was going through. What came to light very quickly was that there were few people talking about it. And it was mind-boggling because as I sat in the emergency room and treatment meetings and waiting rooms, I saw families. Packed rooms with families going through similar circumstances, but I could not find anyone personally who was willing to talk to me about it.
Well, now you have the ears of a community here, Amy. What would you like our listeners to know and understand about mental illness and about caring for someone, loving someone who is mentally ill?
What I have found in finally finding people who are willing to share their story is that everyone's story and everyone's experience is very different. Mental illness, the term mental illness, is truly a bucket for a vast number of disorders. And as I said earlier, many are not, it's not fully understood, and it's not scientific necessarily in understanding what is going on with an individual. Statistically, 1 in 4 people in the U.S. have some type of mental health diagnosis. And many of them are so highly functioning that outwardly people would not even know that they are living with a mental illness. I think the other important thing to understand, and the statistics show, that there's no direct tie between mental illness and violence. In fact, a person with a mental illness is more likely to be a victim than a perpetrator of violence. The other thing is that mental illness isn't caused by someone, and it's not something that can just be fixed. I've personally seen too often people are looking to place blame and figure out how to fix it. It can be totally scary to witness someone who is struggling with the disease, but the more compassion we can have to others, the better it is for all of us, and the better that we can understand what may be happening with people who aren't, you know, acting the way that we feel is the social norm.
Have you and your son ever felt stigmatized by his condition?
I think there's a lot of stigma in mental illness. I actually and honestly saw stigma from the caretakers in the hospitals and medical settings. I think that even within the medical community, people are looking for what's the cause, who caused it, how was it caused, too often. Now, that's not to say all, you know, are like that, but there was definitely a number of times where we felt stigmatized. I think the biggest thing for me was that I found that people didn't know how to act and didn't know what to say, and so they didn't say anything when they knew the story. And I think that's really hard as the person, as the caretaker of the person going through it, not having or feeling that I had the support of those around me. I also saw personal examples where, you know, people would openly rally behind more, quote-unquote, mainstream diseases, and yet never even considered that a family going through a mental illness crisis could use the same thing, whether it be dinners or someone to sit with and talk with, or just to know that there's someone on the other end of the phone who's willing to listen, even if they don't understand exactly what you're going through.
We have about 30 seconds left. Can you tell me briefly, what do you do for yourself as a caretaker to make sure you're being taken care of?
Yeah, it's very important. I write about it a lot on my blog, farfromparadise.org. I found yoga. I took up running, meditation. I found that I needed some very physical activity, physically matched the level of emotional stress that we were under, to help balance out how I made it through every day. But yoga has been an absolute lifesaver for me.
Amy, we thank you so much for your time and for agreeing to talk to us this morning.
Thank you very much for bringing this conversation forward.